I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions. My name is Bill Radford. I'm here with my longtime friend, John Drennan, and we are longtime Lions fans, and welcome to the journey to the Super Bowl. If you'd like to, check out our website, which is theshlpodcast.com. Leave a comment, rate us, and tell your friends. Well, John, we had another victory on Sunday. It wasn't the same as the Baltimore victory. We didn't run up and down the field all day, but the outcome was virtually the same, 34-10. Dan Campbell talked about complementary football, and we certainly saw that on Sunday with the defense causing turnovers. There were three turnovers and that turned into 17 points. Special teams were good with a couple of field goals and a return punt for touchdown. So I'm sure you enjoyed it. What do you think?
A lot of good things are happening, Bill. That's three out of four. So you said, you know, we're on the journey to the Super Bowl. It's certainly been a great start for Lions. We wouldn't have said that after game one with the Packers, but how's it feel? We're sitting on top of the North Division right now with a 3-1 record, and we're rolling. And hey, Bill, before we get into this, I want to clean up a couple things. I've talked about that in the past, that I like to clean up mistakes and go back on some comments. First of all, I've been referring to Jahmyr Gibbs as Jahmyr Gibbs. My apologies. It's Jahmyr Gibbs. So if that was irritating any of our listeners, I want to get the names right. I do like accuracy. And secondly, you and I, several podcasts ago, got talking about Amon-Ra St. Brown versus Puka Nacua. And that was at the beginning of the season when Nacua was picked as, I think, the fourth best receiver by maybe Sports Illustrated. And St. Brown was picked the seventh best. So, you know, they're right there together. But we both agreed Nacua is probably a little bit better, just a little more size, and got usually longer routes. And but we both agreed they're both great. But since then, Bill, I got to tell you, I feel like I would not even consider a trade of St. Brown for Nacua. And it's not because the players have changed. It's because St. Brown does so much for the Detroit Lions and the connection he has with Jared Goff. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in football. I mean, those two guys together, it's got to be the best tandem that exists in the NFL right now. So those are my two cleanups. And any response or comments before we keep going here?
Well, I don't know if, I mean, I think it's a coin flip with Nacua and St. Brown. I agree. I wouldn't trade him now because St. Brown is really the heartbeat of that offense. And he does so many things so well, blocking. He was in on that gadget play that scored the touchdown on the pitch out to Gibbs. And he's scored the most touchdowns of any wide receiver, I think, in the last year or so.
Yeah, so he's just chalking up. And Bill, let's let our listeners know there's no chance they're going to trade him. We're just hang on things. So, yeah, he does so much. You're right. He's like the heartbeat. He does so much for the Detroit Lions as a Detroit Lion, and we're blessed to have him. So, well, Bill, let's start. I've got some offensive comments. No sacks again of Jared Goff. Now, he was pressured a lot, and if you look at his numbers and passing rating, they weren't very good. That was because of the pressure, and Myles Garrett is an absolute beast, and, you know, you could tell. But here's what I see different from Goff versus 4 years ago, Bill, you know, his first year or two. He's great at reading pressure. He's great at getting rid of the ball. He's great at avoiding the sack. He's not turning it over like he did in his first year or two. So I just think Goff is just gets better and better. So he wasn't sacked. He was hurried. Bill, the team did score 34, but 17 of those came from their defense after turnovers, and 7 came on a punt return. Now, I know you mentioned complementary football. There's three parts to the game, but it's a 10-10 game if you take away special teams and points off turnovers. But we're not taking them away, so it was a clear, decisive win. Seemed like a bit of a rough day between Goff and J-Mo, and I think they're going to have a great game this Sunday. I'm just making some various comments here. Tesla, I think he's going to have a breakout Sunday one of these days where he goes from one catch or two targets to, four or five catches, but we didn't see much of him. But we did have over 100 yards rushing, and Bill, that was against a team that hadn't given up that amount. The Cleveland Browns defensively are for real. They are the number one rated defense in the NFL. That's some of my comments about the offense.
Yeah, I was wondering if they keyed on Montgomery because he didn't do anything. I think he had about six carries for I'm not sure he got 10 yards.
It was
So
9 carries for 12 yards, I believe.
yeah,
Yeah.
so as compared to the week before, 151, they must have just had an idea they're going to stop him no matter what. But then Gibbs sort of ran all over him. He averaged close to 7 yards a carry, I think.
Just a quick comment on that. I mean, you and I are fans. Again, we're not in the locker room. We don't go into all the detail. We don't have the knowledge of so many people, but it is interesting, isn't it, that one game, Montgomery does run for 151. The next game he runs for 12, and you said it. Maybe it's because the Browns keyed on him, but it's amazing to have two backs that can both go over 100 yards on any given day, but how those flip-flop and that changes from week to week, I just find it interesting. So sorry to interrupt you, but wanted to make that point.
No, that's fine. And you brought up before we started the podcast about the PFF grades that two of the linemen were the highest graded and three were the lowest. And it could be that's the reason Montgomery didn't have any holes
Yeah,
was
that's connecting the dots for sure.
because of the three of the lowest. But I'll take a 24-point win, no matter how they get it. So
Bill,
I know
my
my
site.
prediction was 24-10, and yours was, I think, 27-13. So they got one more touchdown than we predicted.
Yeah, I think we predicted pretty well on that, and the Browns' defense was good, and that's why we kept our scores in the 20s. But hey, you add on a punt return by Raymond, and it takes it into the 30s. But
Right.
Bill, you know my
Well,
saying, the NFL, it's so hard to win in the NFL. I don't know how any team ever wins. I mean, that,
I know.
so you're right. You take a W any way you can get one, and that's what we got.
So I wanted to bring up the sacks by Hutchinson now has five, I think you said,
Yep.
and Muhammad has two and a half. And Parsons only has one and a half. So I was talking to my friend Tim this week, and he was complaining when Green Bay signed Parsons, he was doom and gloom and said that our GM was failing. And I sent this to him that Hutch had five, Muhammad had two and a half, and Parsons had one and a half. I said, I guess our GM was pretty smart after all. And it didn't cost $1 billion. So.
And Bill, that's the thing. Anybody, and no disrespect, but anybody who thought we were going to get Parsons, well, they had no clue of the business side. They couldn't. B, it would have been foolish. You're not going to sacrifice the future of the franchise thinking they need another dominant pass rusher. And You mentioned where Hutch is compared to Parsons and others. Miles Garrett's only got three. He came into the game with one in each of the first three games and didn't get a sack. So there you go. And by the way, the experts tend to prefer pressures to sacks. I mean, the advantage of the sacks is it can move the chains back and now you got more yards. But the advantage of the pressures is interceptions get thrown, routes get screwed up, fumbles happen. So there's no doubt that Garrett and Parsons and Hutch you can't measure the impact of the pressures, but they all do it.
Right.
Goff, you could see against the Browns, he was pressured. He had to hurry things up, and that's why he had a poor passer rating, but he didn't turn it over. That was the key.
Well, that's the other thing that I think Goff has learned. It's okay to throw it away.
Right.
The
And I said
offense
he
is good
didn't turn it.
enough.
He did turn it over once, didn't he?
Yeah, that was a terrible pass.
Yeah, so he did turn it over once.
But it's okay to throw it away. You can trust your defense. They'll stop people.
Right.
And the main thing is don't turn it over,
Right.
which he didn't. Well, he correction. He did throw the one, but he hasn't been turning it over like he did the first year we had him, some the second year. Or it seemed like he had one or two every game.
Yep. Well, defensively, Bill, without question, they did great. A lot of pressures. Was it three sacks, I think. Forced fumble by Hutch. That's two in a row. He popped the ball out of
Derrick
Derrick
Henry.
Henry's against Baltimore and then knocked it out of Flacco's arms. And then three turnovers to one. You always want to try and win that turnover battle. Couple downsides on the defense, Bill. That's four games in a row where the first drive of the opponent they scored a TD.
Is it really?
Yeah, all four
That's
games.
not good.
Yeah, and I saw some stat that hasn't happened in a long time by any team. So they need to clean that up. But also the injuries. Both our starting cornerbacks are out and. I did see the Lions picked up a cornerback from the Seattle Seahawks, a veteran guy that's in the locker room this week and may not
Yeah,
continue.
Reed is a real loss because he was playing very well, made
Right.
a fantastic interception,
Right.
and his injury just happened in the open field. Nobody hit him or anything. He was just running and pulled his hamstring or blew it out or whatever happened to it. Just went down in a heap. So
Well,
football is a
hopefully we get him.
game of attrition a lot of times.
Yeah, hopefully we get him in a few weeks back. And I think it's unclear if Terrion Arnold is out this Sunday or not. But I think they got good guys in the wings that can come fill in for a week or two.
Well, they shouldn't have any trouble with Cincinnati, I wouldn't think. Seeing how Denver just ran all over them. I don't think Browning's up to the task. So hopefully the fact that we're missing those two guys won't hurt us next week for sure. But the week after that against the Chiefs, it might. Mahomes is still great. And but that's a primetime game, and those Lions do really well in primetime.
That's right. Well, looking ahead, Bill, you mentioned the Bengals. We got them Sunday. And of course, you can't overlook a team. It's hard to win in the NFL. However, looking at the Bengals right now, I made note of this. They opened the season beating the Browns 17-16. We know Browns have a great defense. And Cincinnati's certainly known for its offense with Joe Burrow and their wide receivers. And then they won their second game over the Jaguars 31-27, meaning the Bengals gave up 27 to the Jaguars and again gave up 16 to the Browns, whose offense isn't very good. But then they lose Joe Burrow and they lose to the Vikings 48-10 and got their clocks cleaned. And then this last week lost to Denver 28-3. So here's what it says. And if you look at the stats, it all bears this out. They have a terrible offense without Joe Burrow, and they don't have a very good defense. This year,
No.
I figured the Lions would beat, they'd outscore the high scoring Bengals because the Bengals don't have a very good defense, but the Lions do. But I think this may be the cakewalk on the schedule, if there is such a thing, coming up this Sunday. Now, you don't
Well,
like to hear your two cornerbacks are out when you're going up against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, but.
Like you said, it's hard to win in the NFL, and this past Sunday proved it. The Chargers were on a roll. A lot of people had them considered one of the best, if not close to the best team in the AFC, and they went and lost to the Giants, who were 0-3. And they're 3-0. And I saw something this morning that that's the first time that an 0-3 team has beaten a 3-0 team. I don't remember how many years, but it's been a long time since that happened. So anybody can win, and you can't go into a game thinking it's going to be a cakewalk.
No, I felt bad using that word because again, these are the best of the best in the world being paid big dollars to go win games. So there is no easy game in the NFL. And even if the Bears, we beat them 52-20, you might say, well, John, that was easy. Well, it wasn't easy going into it, and wasn't easy, but it can, in looking back, it was a big win. They're just never easy. So,
Well, and you look at the Jaguars beat the 49ers on Sunday.
right. And how about this, Bill? Okay, think back after 2 weeks in this season, the Packers dominated the Lions and did very similar to the Commanders. And we're sitting there at 2-0. And after week two, I'm saying to me, the Packers are the best team in the NFL as of that moment in time. Today, they're 2-1-1, and the Lions are 3-1. So go
The
figure.
Packers are 1 second away from being 2-2. That overtime game, Love held on to the ball too long with no time left and threw it in the end zone incomplete, and there was 1 second left. If that took 1 second longer, they lose the game because they kicked a field goal to tie it as time expired in the overtime. So,
Wow. But 40-40 against the Cowboys. Go figure. It's just amazing stuff. So, Bill, the Lions are number one in points scored right now after four games. They're six in total yards. The Bengals are 32nd in total yards as of right now. So they're last.
and the game's in Cincinnati, is that correct?
It is. Yep. And right now, by the way, passer ratings of starting quarterbacks. Number one's Lamar Jackson. His passer rating's off the charts, 130 something. And Goff is tied with Jordan Love with second best at 113. Second best passer rating of the starting quarterbacks.
Well, I think some of the commentators and now analysts are coming around to the Lions. They were ready to bury them after the first game because of the coordinators leaving. But they're starting to come around, and some of them are now saying that the Lions are the best team in the NFC, even better than the Eagles, who, although they're winning and they are 4-0, they're not having an easy time doing it. a blocked field goal against the Rams as time expired. That won that one game for them. But they've been winning a lot of games very close. They
And
had
Bill,
no passing yards in the second half last game.
yeah, that was amazing. And isn't it interesting this year, the Lions on their schedule, they're going to play the Chiefs, they're going to play the Bills, they're going to play the Eagles, they're going to play Tampa Bay, they're going to play the Rams. So, iron sharpens iron. It's a lot of iron coming together.
Yeah, avoiding injuries is going to be important. So they need to beat Cincinnati. I think they could beat Kansas City, and then they get a bye week.
No, they play Tampa Bay, then they get a bye week.
Okay.
Then they
Is
play the
Tampa home or
Vikings.
away? Do you know?
Tampa's home, and then the Vikings are home.
Is the bye week after the Vikings?
No, it's between the Bucks and the Vikings.
All right.
I think that's a good time for a bye. You've got 7 games, that's enough to be a little bit beaten up. And it's a good time to kind of regroup and get ready for what's coming up, November and then December. So,
So,
Bill.
John, who would you say at this point in the season is our offensive and defensive MVPs?
Defense was easy. Aiden Hutchinson. Offense, my brain immediately goes to Goff and then St. Brown and then Gibbs and then Sewell. But I think at the end of the day, it's probably Goff. From this standpoint, if he went down, I think the Lions are in trouble.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But all of those names you mentioned are very important. Sewell is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, if he
It's
went down, there's trouble. Without question.
so, but the offensive line, no sacks, 3 games in a row. That's great.
Absolutely. And they're coming up against a defense that is not known for making sacks right now. And I wonder what it'll be like for DJ Reader, former Cincinnati defensive lineman who's now a stud on the Lions D line, going back to Cincinnati and being with his old comrades. He's going to want to make a statement.
Cincinnati does have one really good edge rusher, Hendrickson.
Yeah, for sure.
So he could be trouble, but yeah, they
Now,
should win this game.
is he an edge or is he inside D
I
line?
think he's an edge.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he can be disruptive, but apparently he's been was a little quiet last Sunday, so or Monday night rather. I watched a game. I didn't hear his name.
Well, that was a blowout.
Yeah, and that's the other advantage we got this week, Bill. They're on a short week. I mean, they played that Monday night game. So,
That's right.
well, hey,
So, go ahead.
well, I got a score. I'm going to go ahead and say this is one where the Lions put it together more than they did against the Browns. 45-17 Lions. I'll give the Bengals 17 just because they got two great wide receivers and they got to have some level of pride.
Well, I'm going to go 38-10.
Okay. So I'm saying one more TD for Lions. You're saying one less for the Bengals, but same differential.
Yeah, I wish I knew what the weather was going to be like on Sunday in Cincinnati. I can, that might have an effect on the game. Because although we can run it, they can't.
Yeah, to me, weather's not going to change much unless it's swirling winds and, driving rains. But I think light rains or cold temperatures won't make a difference.
Currently, it's the prediction for the weather in Cincinnati on Sunday is 85 and sunny.
Wow. Okay, cramps. Get more Gatorade out. All right, well, Bill, I'm excited because on this road to the Super Bowl again, I think if we look at every set of four games the Lions are playing, they're going to win three out of four. They just did that once, and now I do think these next four, Denver, I'm sorry, Bengals, Chiefs, Bucks, Vikings. I think we get three of those at least. So I'm feeling good about the path that we're on here.
I think all those games are winnable. I think a couple of them are losable. But I think the two tough teams in that of those four could be the Chiefs and the Bucks. But Minnesota seems to be suffering with the backup quarterback.
Right.
And I don't know when McCarthy will be back, and if he is back, how good he'll be. He's
Right.
kind of been hit and miss when he was playing.
I mean, Carson Wentz is a bit of a question mark because, I mean, he won a Super Bowl years ago as a QB, and he's certainly talented, so he can have a really hurt you game or really fall apart game. But
Right.
right as of today, he's probably more dangerous to us than JJ would be. Vikings defense is very good. All their receivers are back. Addison's back. He had a suspension. So they're not going to be easy. But you mentioned, Bill, all four are winnable. And as long as we stay relatively healthy, I know you and I will say all year, every game's winnable. There's just not a team out there that's not beatable by these Detroit Lions. So we'll see.
Well, before we go, let's clean up one thing. You said that Wentz won a Super Bowl. Maybe you forgot that he got injured and did not play in the Super Bowl. It was Nick
I
Foles, the
did.
backup, won the Super Bowl.
Okay, so he didn't play in that at all.
No.
He led him to a Super Bowl.
Well, I think he won 12 or 13 games and he got hurt.
Okay, yeah, I stand very corrected there.
Remember the Philly?
No.
The play where they threw the touchdown pass to Foles in the end zone?
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, that kind of broke the back of the Patriots. So yeah, that backup quarterback Foles really cashed in on that with his next contract. But he just didn't have it as a starter.
Well, before we sign off here, do you want to bring us any that you saying that reminded me you got so many stories. You want to bring us the same old Lions? And we'll wrap it up.
Well, do you remember? I think it was the Thanksgiving game a few years ago when Jim Schwartz was the coach, and Houston fumbled the ball, and not I'm sorry, didn't fumble. He was down. He was obviously down, and he got up and ran into the end zone for a touchdown. Well, the NFL at the time had a rule that, and they still do, they review every scoring play. But if you threw a red flag on a scoring play, you didn't get a review. So Schwartz threw the red flag after Houston scored. It was like a 60, 70-yard touchdown run. But he was down. He was down after a yard or two, and got up and kept running. And the referees missed it. And because Schwartz threw the red flag, they were not allowed to review it. And of course, they changed that rule the next year, as they often do with Lions rules. But that was the same old Lions stuff. And after the game, they asked Schwartz, said, "Didn't you know that if you threw the flag that they couldn't review it?" He said, "Yeah, I knew that, but I was just so mad that I threw the flag." So.
And to me, that's just one of so many plays that unbelievable. I mean, you hear that and you go impossible. But so even though he threw the flag, because the red flag is you want it to be reviewed.
Right.
So not only did they say, was he out of reviews? Or they say, because you threw it the flag on an already reviewable play, we're not
Right, that
reviewing
was
it.
it. They automatically review scoring plays and turnovers.
Right.
So if you throw the flag on a scoring play or turnover at the time, they couldn't review it. That was the
Unbelievable.
rule, which is a stupid rule.
Yeah.
Now I think it's just a penalty. I don't know if it's 5 yards or 10 or 15, whatever it is, but the real kicker was that Schwartz said, "Yeah, he knew the rule and I threw it
Yeah. Well, that's why he's now a defensive coordinator.
for the Browns."
Yeah.
Right.
And you said a few years ago that had to be at least 10 years ago. So,
Long time ago, yeah.
well, I'm glad you share those because they were so painful at the time, but it's so pleasurable right now to be a Detroit Lions fan and rolling. And let's just hope our guys stay healthy. And looking forward to coming on next week, Bill, and talking about the post Detroit Lions, Cincinnati Bengals game.
Should be a win.
All right, folks. Hey, let others know about us, and you can go to our website at theshlpodcast.com. And we appreciate your following us.
Bye.